Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my pleasure to welcome all those listeners that we have not only in this country on Radio 4, but also on the World Service, and those who enjoy our show via the internet. And also, as always, it's a pleasure to welcome the four exciting, talented, skillful, and provocative players of the game who've joined me this week. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to use their verbal dexterity, their humorous ingenuity, to speak on the subject that I give them. And they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four talented people are Paul Merton, Sheila Hancock, Kit Hesketh-Harvey, and Clement Freud. Please welcome all four of them. Besides me, it's Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Drill Hall in the west central area of London. And we have in front of us a real cosmopolitan London audience drawn from every area of this metropolis, who on a very hot day are really oozing all kinds of perspiration and fanning themselves to keep cool. So let's get started quickly with Clement Freud, and the subject is The Perfect Breakfast. Clement, tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The perfect breakfast, if you live in Japan, appears to be soup, which you eat at a very low table, and it is a job, should you be fat as I am, to get under it in order to consume the consommé oriental. In Scandinavia, they give you foul pieces of meat, and in France, it's brioche and...
Kit Hesketh-Harvey challenge.
Well, coffee, really, but it was a hesitation.
Hesitation, yes, hesitation. So, that's a correct challenge, Kit, so you get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject. There are 37 seconds available. The perfect breakfast starting now.
In America, it's grits, which is rather like denture fixative.
Clement, challenge.
Hesitation.
No.
Deviation, I meant. Grits.
Did I not say grits?
No,
you said
grit.
Grit.
But,
you
say grit.
I thought I said
I'm
grit.
I'm sitting close to him, I know.
Maybe I swallowed the denture fixative.
No,
oh, well, you're closest. Did he put an S on
grit.
The S?
Yes,
oh,
right.
Sheila, you're such a sport. I'll deal with you later.
Right.
I love
you. You have an incorrect challenge, so you keep the subject, Kit, and there are 33 seconds available. The perfect breakfast starting now.
In Thailand, it's bowel-curdling curry, whereas in Germany, it's Knockwurst, which proves they have a sense of humour. Whereas over here, I think the perfect breakfast is quite honestly lunch. I like to lie in bed until at least 1 o'clock in the afternoon and then come down to some deviled kidneys or perhaps a bit of haddock.
Clement, challenge.
Hesitation.
You know, there was a hesitation. I don't know why you looked at me and you thought it was very funny. I don't know what's funny about a haddock.
The word haddock, there.
I know. Maybe it's fish fair. Right, 13 seconds. Clement, you have the subject and a point for a correct challenge. The perfect breakfast starting now.
It has got to be Earl Grey tea followed by All Brown. And
Sheila, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree, Sheila. So you have
can't
another...
eat it that quickly.
Sheila, 8 seconds for you on the perfect breakfast starting now.
Breakfast is my favorite meal, and the perfect breakfast is in a hotel with a tray on the bed and the newspapers.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion with Sheila Hancock, she's equal in the lead with Kit Hesketh-Harvey. And Kit, it's your turn to begin. The subject, the chimpanzee. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
We are told that we share a lot of our DNA profile with the chimpanzee, which is a hard concept to grasp until you look at Edwina Curry and her shrieking libido, her depraved antics, possibly around the room. Nicholas Parsons has a way with a banana, which has served him very well in becoming a comedy god. Paul Merton, a very hairy back. Clement Freud.
Clement Freud, challenge.
I wanted to save him from... And repetition of berry.
Yes, he did repeat berry, that's right.
No,
berry,
that's right. And deviation.
Why?
I don't have a very hairy back.
Well, anyway, that's beside the point now. He's got him on repetition of berry, and there are 40 seconds on the chimpanzee with you, Clement, starting now.
When my children were very young, I became a member of the London Zoological Society so that we could get into the members' entrance and watch or look at just one animal instead of, in my youth, having to do 4.5 hours with Nanny doing a tour of the monkey house, the fish pond, whatever, the aviary built by Tony Snowden.
Kit has his knowledge.
I'm sure Nanny didn't take you round when Tony Snowden's aviary was...
Quite right.
We must be
well, yeah. Well spotted.
Well spotted, but it was a comment that he saw the aviary. Oh, you mean the aviary didn't exist?
It didn't exist.
No,
when Nanny
right,
took
no, because it was late.
Deviation.
Right, well picked up, Kit. You've got another point for the chimpanzee, and the subject is the chimpanzee, and you have 15 seconds starting now.
Sheila Hancock's very surname refers to one of the more regrettable habits that these primates indulge in.
Sheila, you've shallow.
No, we've got to stop him. Not nice.
All
no,
right.
Deviation.
Well, it wasn't deviation, actually.
I'm not sure that
chimpanzees... But you did actually pause after that, and I'm not surprised.
I've never seen a chimpanzee.
What did Nanny show you?
It's when Lord Snowden does it, you've got something to worry about.
I think in the interest of decency, Sheila, we give you the benefit of the doubt and say, tell us something about the chimpanzee, 9 seconds starting now.
There used to be a humiliating advert where they had...
10-minute foreign chance.
Deviation.
Why?
They, it's the chimpanzee.
What?
The subject is...
No, she said there, and so I'm very close to her. I want to make up for it.
Anyway, I'll carry on and then you'll see that you're wrong, Clem.
6 seconds, Sheila. The chimpanzee starting now.
In this advert was one chimpanzee... Oh, bugger.
We're allowed one of those a show, by the way. So
he put me off.
Advert.
Advert. You said the advert.
I know,
advert
I know. That's
right.
Why I
said Paul, you've got him as well. 4 seconds on the chimpanzee, Paul, starting now.
I've known many chimpanzee in my time. Perhaps my...
Kit, challenge.
That's deviation from English, isn't it? Can you have many chimpanzee?
No, he's to put an S on the end.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
No, he didn't.
I was
the subject
very
is the chimpanzee.
I don't think you were deviating within the rules of just a minute. So, Paul, you have another point. 1 second, starting now.
Tarzan...
At the end of that round, Paul Merton, speaking of the whistle, went gained the extra point. Sheila Hancock is still in the lead, one ahead of Kit Hesketh-Harvey and Paul Merton. Clement Freud is one behind them. And Sheila, it's your turn to begin. And the subject now is things you should never do on a train. A moment to think about it, and off you go. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Well, for a start, you shouldn't do what Kit.
Oh, tell us.
Hesitation.
Yeah, I'm afraid so, yes. I thought you didn't want to refer to what he's talking about.
I know,
you.
I did.
You were trying to keep the show clean. Paul, a correct challenge, 57 seconds. Things you should never do on a train, starting now.
Exercise an Irish wolfhound, drain a yak. These are things you should not attempt to do on a train because there are other people travelling with you. You shouldn't perhaps design a new kitchen. You maybe shouldn't talk on a mobile phone because other people on the train... Oh, that's nonsense.
Kit challenge.
It's nonsense. Deviation.
No. It's all nonsense, but it doesn't matter. As long as... So, I have to be fair, 41 seconds. Still with you, Paul, starting now.
Cut a leprechaun's toenails is something you should definitely avoid because those little Irish imps don't like that personal grooming being carried out by somebody they don't really know. Especially if you're travelling up to 125 miles an hour. At the moment, I've got the idea there's about 5 people waving at me, but in fact, they're fanning themselves because we're of the extreme heat we're in. But I feel as if I'm leaving on a boat train saying goodbye to the relatives.
New challenge.
I didn't hear how he ended it, but it was deviation if he was talking about the audience waiting.
That's right. So, Sheila, correct challenge. 20 seconds for you. Things you should never do on a train starting now.
You should never talk to me because I like to be on my own reading my book with nobody sitting near me. So, if possible, sit on the other side and I should repeat it.
Challenge.
She didn't actually repeat sit, but she hesitated when they thought she had made
she
her
did
sitting
hesitate,
before.
Yes, on
oh,
the
did
end.
I?
Yeah,
oh,
I'm sorry.
So, Kit, you have the subject now, and you have 11 seconds available, things you should never do on a train starting now.
You should never flush when it is standing at a station, which is difficult if you're a menopausal woman.
Clement Charles.
You can flush. You mustn't flush the lavatory base.
Oh, Clement, that's stupid. I'm sorry. No,
that was
we all knew what he meant.
I didn't.
You should never. I know it was a joke, but didn't get much of a laugh, did it?
Yes. I laughed.
Thank so you. He keeps the subject of things you should never do on a train. 7 seconds starting now.
You shouldn't, when you go into Stevenage or Letchworth, Baldock, Royston, any of the above on the journey towards Norfolk, attempt on any account.
So Kit Hedgeth Harvey was speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point. He's now moving to the lead, one ahead of Sheila Hancock and Paul Merton. And Clement is trailing just a little. But Paul, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is award ceremonies.
Oh.
You have that subject. You have 60 seconds as usual. Tell us something about them starting now.
Well, of course, award ceremonies are enormous fun if you actually win something. If, like the majority of people there, you don't, then they can be perhaps a sad affair. I recently won a BAFTA after being nominated 7 times in 10 years. I was rather astonished when I was actually given one. But I found that the day after was more enjoyable than the actual event, because afterwards there's lots of people sitting around all in a bad mood.
Sheila Hancock challenge.
Afterwards.
You repeated afterwards.
Oh, yes. Yes.
42 seconds, Sheila. Tell us something about award ceremonies starting now.
I was sitting on the same table as Paul when he won his award, and he was very happy on the day. I wasn't, however, because I was nominated for the umpteenth time. I never win bloody awards.
Cameron Sands.
Repetition.
Of what?
Not winning awards.
I'll give you a round of applause because we enjoyed what you said. But, of course, she didn't repeat anything within the rules of just a minute. So you keep the subject, don't you? Award ceremonies and 29 seconds starting now.
I have now perfected my gallant loser's face. After the camera goes off me, I do use a lot of bad language, however, and kick the person next to me. Judy Dench.
For your challenge.
Well, I think to rescue Sheila from committing professional suicide here. As she lays into Judy Dench. Well, I think it was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation just before she said Judy Dench, yes. So, Paul, you've got the subject back of award ceremonies. 17 seconds starting now.
When I won Best Newcomer of 1963, I had to fight Judy Dench for it, fist and tooth. She was a furious woman because she thought she should have won it, and I thought...
Clement Foy Challenge.
Three she's.
The three she's, and I think if you say she three times, I know it's a small word, but
yeah.
And quite close together, too.
Yeah.
So, Clement, correct. Challenge. 8 seconds. Award ceremonies starting now.
I find that award ceremonies are very tough on your knees because they say, get down onto the carpet.
No. Poor challenge.
Well, there was a hesitation there. God knows which avenue we were being led down. But there was... It's not like the BAFTA I remember. So that was a hesitation.
There was a huge hesitation.
You could have parked the bus in that hesitation,
yes.
Nicholas.
I think he didn't know what he was going to say, or else he was too nervous of saying it.
Yeah, perhaps. You know him better than I do.
You've got him with half a second to go on the award ceremonies, Paul, starting now.
Just a minute, won an award.
Thank you for that last little flurry, Paul, saying what you did there, because it was nice to mention that as well. Because
what did they win?
We won the best comedy show.
So that's a quarter of an award you've won.
Yeah.
Mm.
You played your part.
Well, yes. Today, not all the time.
They knew you were coming.
I tried it by all the shows. I probably only won about 20th of an award.
Yes, but I was trying to sort of gild the lily.
Maybe
yes. Yes, this show won the comedy award in this country last year, and everybody was very happy. And Paul Merton said it and was blown when the whistle went. You're sorry.
The only reason why I do just a minute these days.
Oh, dear.
He was blown away, actually, is what I meant to say. And
that's cleared it up enormously. Will you at this point be painting a picture for the audience at home, telling them that Clement is sitting next to me?
And Paul Merton was speaking as a whistle went, gained an extra point. He's one ahead of Sheila Hancock. He's one ahead of Kit Hesketh Harvey. And he's two ahead of Clement Freud. That is the order. And Kit Hesketh Harvey, it's your turn to begin. The subject, Wellington. Tell us something about Wellington in this game, starting now.
He was born the youngest son of an Irish peer with virtually no money at all, ran up huge gambling debts and had to go off and conquer Pune, which he did in the nick of time in India. Came back showered with glory and then went into the Peninsular War with Sean Bean or Shane Bain or Sayan Bayan or Sean Barn or whatever.
General Jones.
Repetition of awe.
Oh, oh yes, there were lots of oars there,
yes, weren't there? We can't have too many oars in this boat. So, too many oars. 43 seconds, Wellington, with you, Clement, starting now.
If you leave Hyde Park Corner in a northerly direction, as you get to the park...
Paul Chalmers.
Repetition of park, sadly. Mm.
That's right, yes. Oh, yeah. And there are 37 seconds on Wellington with you, Paul, starting now.
Well, it's an ideal shoe when you're out in the country in the middle of winter. You put it on your foot, and if you're lucky enough to be... I know, people are waving at me again. What do you want?
Cameron Challenge.
Deviation.
Deviation. Those people are waving at you. Got nothing to do with Wellington.
No, it'd only be deviation if they weren't waving at me.
So, Clement, correct challenge. 29 seconds, Wellington, starting now.
In the location which I described, there's a statue which says, to Arthur, Duke of Wellington, and his brave comrades in arms, this statue of Achilles...
Paul Chalmers.
Repetition of statue.
You had statue in the first day. There's a statue there and another statue. Mm. So 19 seconds for you, Paul, on Wellington starting now.
And it's a remarkable way to walk around in rural nature because the mud can flip up your trousers before you know where you are. But if you've got a good pair of Wellingtons on, then you feel free to walk across, see the sun slanting.
Kit has challenged him.
He's walked about three times
now. Yes,
you
walk. You walk across the thing, you put the Wellingtons on and you walk.
Did I?
Yes, you did, Paul.
Doesn't sound like me.
Probably because those people are waving at you still. Right. Kit Hesketh-Harvey, you have the subject of Wellington. There are 6 seconds available starting now.
It's an absolutely disgusting way to drink beef.
See the challenge.
deviation and hesitation. You can't drink beef and he hesitates.
Sheila, 4 seconds. Wellington starting now.
Wellingtons were written about by the Duke because he wanted...
So Sheila Hancock got that extra point. She's now 1 point behind our leader, Paul Merton. She's few ahead of Kit Hesketh-Harvey and Clement Freud. And she also begins the next round. Sheila, the subject is how I keep my house clean. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Well, if I might say so, that's a very sexist question. You wouldn't have presented that to Paul or Clement or Kit. It's because I'm a woman that it is assumed that I keep my house clean, which I don't. It's filthy. And I have this broom that's worn down to the wood.
Kit, this is how we challenge.
I think to save us from the accusation of sexism, I would like to take the subject now.
Well, I would like you to have it to save us all from sexism.
But there was a hesitation as she giggled.
Yes, she did.
Scrubby little
giggled.
Brush.
So, Kit, you tell us something about how I keep my house clean. 43 seconds, starting now.
I take my cue from organic gardeners who use ladybirds to eat their aphids. I put cockroaches all over the floor and they act like little hoovers. Mice, I find, are very useful for dusting the little corners that you can't reach.
Sheila Hancock.
Repetition of little.
What's in that?
Yes. And there are 32 seconds. Back with you, Sheila, on how I keep my house clean, starting now.
I might actually ask Kit for some advice, because I never know where to begin. When I was young, I used to be very good at it every Saturday morning.
Kit challenge.
I think the heat's getting to her, and we ought to stop her before she reveals any more.
What's the challenge within the rules of the
deviation. Justice?
Why?
I don't know. She was talking about when she was young being good at it on a Saturday morning, and I don't think that's much to do with the subject on the card, Nicholas.
And but she was not deviating or hesitating or repeating anything.
Was she not?
So she was not.
Oh, well,
the audience enjoyed your bawdy remarks, so we give you a bonus point for that. Sheila gets the point for being interrupted, and there are 22 seconds available, Sheila, starting now.
When my mum was at work, I used to clean the house from top to bottom. I was a little angel. The secret is to do the dusting first before you hoover. Nowadays, there's all sorts of squeezy things for the window, mirrors, tiles, floor, something different for every item.
So Sheila Hancock started with the subject, kept going, had lots of interruptions, so gained lots of points because they were all incorrect, and she has moved forward into the lead ahead of Paul Merton by 3 points, and ahead, of course, of Kit Hesketh-Harvey and Clement Freud in that order. And Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is financial advisors. Tell us something about that subject in this game starting now.
Well, if you talk to a financial advisor, you often find that their advice comes down to one thing. I want some of your money. I don't really understand the point of financial advisors, unless, of course, you are like me, who's slightly numerate. I've got grade 5 CSE maths. I don't know how I manage that, really. I suppose it spelt my name right at the top of the paper. And so when I look at massive sums and monetary and fiscal affairs, I do get a little bit lost. I don't really understand what's going on. So I suppose in these circumstances, a financial advisor should be someone I should welcome in to the bosom of my house and say, here it is, here's my wallet.
She's a challenge.
Houses don't have bosoms.
You don't know where I live.
Metaphorically. If you can say the bosom of your family, then you can say the bosom of your house.
No, you can't, Nick.
Bosom of your house is all right with me, Paul, and you have 28 seconds, financial advisor, starting now.
In my home, I think of the kitchen as the cleavage.
You did have home before, I'm sorry.
No, I said house. I said house and home.
Paul, an incorrect challenge. Financial advisor still with you. 26 seconds starting now.
I went to see a financial advisor recently in the Charing Cross area, and he looked at me very steadily and he said, I have some financial advice for you now. It will cost you 25 guineas per minute, but I'm quite prepared to give you the extent of my fundamental and wide-reaching knowledge in the matter of these areas. And I said, OK, off you go. What financial advice do I need? He said, well, I'm going to say this very slowly in the hope that the whistle will go before I get to the end of this, because I don't really know what I'm talking about.
And you achieved it, Paul. So you started with the subject, finished with it. Well, points in the round, including one for speaking as whistle went, and you are back equal in the lead with Sheila Hancock, followed by the other two, and Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject now is fun fairs. Tell us something about fun fairs in just a minute, starting now.
I remember a racehorse that ran in the 1970s called fun fairs, and I thought, surely they've made a mistake. It should be fun fair, but no, the plural was used. I watched it at Devon and Exeter, Wincanton, Salisbury, and then when he ran in Huntingdon, I made a lot of money, though I lost much of that at Fakenham. Sedgefield, Uttoxeter, Nottingham.
Still a challenge.
Surely he's talking about racing as opposed to funfairs.
No, he talked about a horse which was called funfairs. Mm. And he said that he followed this horse. So I don't think, strictly speaking, he's deviating within the rules of just a minute.
Being very crafty.
I have to interpret these things. Clements, an incorrect challenge. Funfair still with you. 36 seconds starting now.
We have a funfair that comes to Suffolk nearly every year. And it is huge fun. There are roundabouts and horses upon which you can ride, music.
Kit Hesketh.
Oh, no, horses, wasn't it? Yeah, I thought, yes. Very clever, Clement. You're such a park master at this. He's the Eminask reason I hail him.
Well said. So, incorrect challenge. Clement, 26 seconds. Fun fairs starting now.
A hurdy-gurdy is particularly amusing to me, although I'm too old in many ways to enjoy the complete pleasure which other people can get, jumping and bouncing up and down, putting one leg on either side of the contraption, and paying.
Sheila, you challenge.
I'm sorry, that's not a hurdy-gurdy. No. Isn't a hurdy-gurdy a musical
thing? That's right, it's one of those things you wind like that.
You don't sit astride.
You
do if you have a monkey, you never know. He might be a chimpanzee.
And he has a little monkey on top as well.
Clement could be that monkey if it's a big hurdy-gurdy.
He couldn't get astride it anyway, I assure you that. So well challenged.
So your judgment is that if Clement was a monkey, he wouldn't be able to get astride the hurdy-gurdy.
No, that is not my opinion, no. I just haven't.
So if he was a monkey, he would be able to get astride the hurdy-gurdy.
He shares a lot of DNA.
We've had the chimpanzee. We're not going to have that in mind. No, it was correct challenge. A hurdy-gurdy was not what he was describing, and Sheila got in with a correct challenge deviation. Fun fairs is with you, Sheila, now. 7 seconds starting now.
There's a particularly lovely fun fair called Carter's, which is a steam engine-run thing with coloured horses.
The whistle went as a buzzer came in, but therefore I accept the whistle first. Sheila, you were speaking as the whistle went. Gain that extra point. You're now one ahead of Paul Merton as we move into the final round. Kit Hesketh-Harvey is a few points behind, and then Clement Freud almost equal with Kit as we move into the final round. And Kit, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is yawning. The heat here has made one of two people go, but talk on the subject of yawning. 60 seconds, starting now.
It's absolutely chasmic here in the drill hall. The heat is blistering. There are people with spinach on their teeth. I can see all the way to row D from here. It's like the black hole of Calcutta. No wonder they're yawning. We're starved of oxygen. This may be the last you ever hear from any of us as we sink into the final oblivion of death.
Paul Challenge.
Buck up. Come on, you know, we can get through. No, it's not over. I mean, admittedly, there's not enough oxygen to keep a ladybird alive, but, you know, if we're going to go, let's all go together. Show him we're British.
Right. Well said, Paul.
Yes.
But have you got a...
I just thought the spirit was lacking. We needed to get going.
Yeah, but have you got a challenge when the rules are just a minute?
No.
Right. You get a bonus point for your interruption, because the audience enjoyed it. We all enjoyed it, actually. But, Kit, it was an incorrect challenge, so you get a point for that, and you still have yawning, and you have 40 seconds starting now.
I can see Nicholas Parsons' denture fixative, but it's brilliantly inspiring. I shall continue as exhorted to by my co-host here. No, he's not.
Sheila Challenge.
He's not a co-host.
No, he's a co-panelist.
He's just a member of the team.
We're all just members.
We're all members of the
members
team.
Members standing proudly.
Absolutely.
Proudly in our
shoulder
final stand.
Shoulder to shoulder. Yes.
Right, Sheila, yes.
What the subject is? What is it?
Yawning.
Oh, yawning. Oh,
yes, and you have 30 seconds starting now.
Yawning gaps open up in front of everybody in their lives, but somehow, with this team, we'll get across it and win through. There is nothing more depressing when you do a show than to see people sitting on the front row yawning. The rest of the audience can be standing...
Paul Challenge.
The deviation, it's more depressing when they just walk out.
That's a very good challenge, I agree. And 14 seconds on the subject of yawning, starting now.
One of the most charming of all Suffolk villages. It has a population of 426, a post office, a pub, the Golden Goose. I love to spend my summer holidays in yawning. When you go down and see the old town hall...
Well, as I said before, this was to be the last round, and unfortunately it is. We have no more time to play...
Yes, but think of fresh air.
The final situation, something unusual. Clement Freud, who's so astute at this game, finished for once in fourth place, just behind Kit Hesketh-Harvey in third place. Sheila Hancock and Paul Merton, when they were last together on Just a Minute, finished up equal as winners. They were almost equal again, but unfortunately, at that last moment, Paul pipped her by 1 point. So Sheila was in second place, but only 1 point ahead is Paul Merton. But let's give them both a round of applause. Me to say thank you to these four hot, tired players of the game who have excelled themselves in spite of the heat. Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Sheila Hancock and Kit Hesketh-Harvey. I thank Janice Naplehurst, who's helped me keep the score. She's blown her whistle so delicately. We thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game. And we are truly grateful to our audience who put up with the heat and the lack of ventilation here at the Drill Hall in London to cheer us on our way. Tune in again the next time you play Just a Minute. Till then, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and here on the panel, goodbye. We'll hear you again soon. Bye.